We're going to continue our series in Luke. If you already turned to Luke chapter 8, just put a finger or a bookmark in there and then actually turn to Isaiah chapter 6. That's where we're going to start this morning. And just bear with me. It will make sense as we go along here. But I want to start out in Isaiah 6. This is 700 years before the time of Christ. And Isaiah is a prophet commissioned by God, and he sees a vision of the Lord on his throne. He sees the angels around the throne. This is in Isaiah 6, 1 through 7. And we're going to pick up in verse 8, and we're going to hear what the Lord says to Isaiah. Now, you got to remember the time that this is happening. Israel is worshiping other gods. They're not following the true God. And that's why God keeps sending prophets to go proclaim truth and repentance to the people. So in verse 8, it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say to this people.'" So go and say to the people of Israel, "Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." And then Isaiah said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." Now, when we read through this, it's a little confusing, isn't it? What's going on? What's God saying here? Well, you got to remember, most of the people of Israel are not following Yahweh, the true God. They're going after idols. The Lord keeps sending prophets. Israel keeps killing the prophets. And he's saying to Isaiah, "I want you to go and say this," but people are not going to listen yet. They're still going to have hard hearts. They're still not going to, even though they're hearing your words, they're not actually hearing your words. And God's describing their current state. Their ears are heavy. Their hearts are dull, their eyes are blind. And God's basically saying, this is the life that you're living, not worshiping me. And this is the state that you're going to continue to be in until you repent and worship me. And the way that this is described, he's describing a people coming into Israel and laying it waste. So we know in the history of Israel and the history of Judah, Assyria came in and took all the northern tribes out. Babylon came in later and took Judah out into exile. And there was a remnant of people that were still longing for the Lord to do something, to put them back into the promised land and to bless them, the people that were truly seeking the Lord. And when we get to the end there at verse 13, it talks about, it's using that metaphor of a tree being cut down and there's a stump. It looks as if everything's dead. There's nothing there, but there's a holy seed in its stump. A seed, that another word for that is offspring. So God's going to send one that, even though things look dead and wasted, God's going to send someone to bring life back. Okay? So this is Isaiah's commission from the Lord to the people of Israel. And all this happened, we know from history that Assyria came in, Babylon came in, Israel was wiped out, and then, even though, it's going to happen again. So Rome, again, now when we go to the time of Christ, when we're in Luke here, you can turn there now. But when we're in Luke, we know that Rome is occupying Israel. They're still not, in a sense, free, living, blessed in the promised land. Rome is there. And they're waiting for this seed, this offspring to come. And we know that that is Jesus. So now we're going to get to Luke chapter 8. We're going to go through verses 1 through 15. And I promise I will bring this back to the Isaiah passage. But Let's start out here. We're going to read through it, and then we're going to go back verse by verse. So it says, "Soon afterward, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when his disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets to the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." So verses 1 through 3, we're reading kind of what's going on in the story. We know Jesus, remember last week we looked at Jesus being invited to the Pharisee's house and the woman coming in and interrupting and worshiping at his feet. And now we kind of get an overview of what Jesus is doing. He's going from town to town preaching the good news. And who's with him? It says in verse 1, "And the 12 were with him," so his disciples, "and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." So you have to understand that culturally at this time, there would be other teachers that would have their own disciples, different Pharisees or teachers of the law, things like that, that would have their disciples follow them around and learn from them. Jesus, this is what's amazing, Jesus doesn't just choose young men. He has his 12 apostles, his closest followers, but then he also, it says here, has women following him as well. This would be very culturally different. And one thing I didn't notice before, they're going with him. It's saying they're also accompanying him from town to town. So just think of how different that would be, having these women going along from town to town, from time to time, and being with Jesus. And it says they are providing for them out of their means. So these women are the support group that are financially supporting the ministry of Jesus and his 12 disciples. Isn't that cool? So we all know it takes those that go out, and it also takes those that provide the funds for those to go out as well. And these women are doing that. And as I read this, I realize there's many different backgrounds. So you think of the 12 disciples. We've looked at some of their lives before. We have fishermen. We have tax collectors. We have a zealot. All these different people following Jesus. We also have different people coming from different backgrounds here when he mentions the women. We have women that have been, they have dealt with demon possession, and Jesus healed them. We have women in the highest ranks of the society, the wife of Herod's household manager. So her husband works for King Herod. and she's following Jesus and supporting his ministry. And I just find that so cool. The word of God is received in all different places, isn't it? From those struggling with demons to those in the highest ranks of the society, God's word is going out, and the word is impacting the lives of people in so many different ways. And that's kind of our transition into what Jesus is teaching here. What's the word that he's teaching as he goes from town to town? He's teaching in a parable. A parable is kind of a story with a very important lesson in it. But unless you have the key to understanding it, you're just going to kind of hear an interesting story being told. And that's what we read here as we went through it. Let's look back again at Jesus' parable, verses 4 through 8. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town to town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it." So we'll stop right there. A sower, this is like a farmer scattering seed. So kids, many of you have probably seen tractors or machines that plant nowadays, right? They go in nice straight rows and things like that. They didn't have tractors back then. So the sower would go out. He'd probably be carrying a big bag of seed, and he'd grab handfuls and just throw it like this. And it might be a little breezy, and the breeze would blow the seed, and it would fall in all different places. Okay, so Jesus is describing four different places where the seed falls as the sower throws out the seed like that. And the first one, he says, falls along the path and is trampled underfoot. So we know, even if it's not a paved pathway, if you guys have ever been on a path or a trail that's heavily walked, it's hard ground, isn't it? You can see the path. It's hard. And he says, some of the seed fell there, and birds of the air devoured it. So you guys know, I am a bird watcher. I took this photo of a Harris's sparrow just a few weeks ago. And guess where I took this picture? It's a little deceiving because it looks like the bird's been sitting on that nice branch. But right before that, guess where the bird was? It was right along the path eating seeds. Okay, and that's why I chose this picture, because it's exactly what Jesus is describing here. For the bird to fly into the woods and have to dig through the leaves and the dirt to try to find some food, that's hard work. But for the bird to just come along the path where it can find some food pretty easy, that's a lot of times where you guys will find birds eating, is in the short grass or along the path, because it's easier to find seed there. So Jesus is saying, sometimes when farmers throw that seed, some of it falls along the hard path and birds come and eat it. Sorry, I didn't have a picture of a bird actually with seed in its mouth. That's what I was looking for. Okay, so next, so that we know if the bird eats the seed, the seed's no good anymore, right? Verse 6, some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. So here we got some rocky soil. How many of you guys like gardening or taking care of your yard or things like that? We all know that if there's weeds or anything growing in this kind of soil, it's really easy to pluck that up, isn't it? It's much easier to pluck up plants or weeds in rocky soil because the roots don't go down that far, or they're easier to pull up. Why? Because when rain comes, the moisture goes, it falls to the lowest point, and it's going through all the rocks, and it just keeps going. The roots can't go down deep in this type of rocky soil. And Jesus is saying, when the sower scatters, some of the seed falls on this type of soil. And it can't grow because it doesn't have any moisture. Soil number 3, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. So some of it falls down, and we know, I picked a picture of some really gnarly looking thorns here. But when the thorns come up, you don't often find good plants growing among the thorns, right? The thorns just overtake everything. And even if there was something growing in there, no one's going to reach in there and grab it for the fruit, right? I'm not touching that. We're not going there. Jesus is saying some of that seed falls among this kind of soil, and the thorns overtake it. And then finally, in verse 8, some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So the final soil, I don't know if this isn't the most clear picture, but can you guys almost smell that dirt? You know that good smelling dirt that you get, that really rich, good soil? The kind of soil that you don't mind touching and getting dirty because you know it's just so good of dirt. That's what Jesus is describing here. Some of that seed falls on that type of soil, and it's going to grow really well. It's rich soil. It takes in moisture. Birds don't mess around here because it's harder to get to. All of the, this is good soil. This is where you want most of the seed to fall. So Jesus gives this picture to the people who have come out to listen. And he says, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." So a lot of times we can say something and people just kind of nod their head and be like, "That's cool," but they don't really get what you say, right? There's a lot of times I tell you guys some really, really good puns and they go over your head because you don't hear them.
That's what makes them good.
Yeah, that's what makes them good. Only a select few get to hear that. But no, we've all said something before and people just don't quite get it, right? Husbands, this happens to us a lot when our wife says something at home, right? She says something, but it doesn't quite register, and let me get yelled at later. Yeah. Okay. So anyways, we all know kind of what Jesus is talking about here. So you can just imagine the crowds that have gathered here to listen to this. Now, this is what I imagine. Most of the people that have just heard Jesus teach this parable, they don't understand it. They just listen to a motivational speaker or an interesting storyteller. So I can imagine the farmers in the group are thinking, what can I take away from this? Maybe I need to pay attention to where I've been scattering. Maybe I've wasted a lot of seed. Maybe that's what they hear when they hear this parable. And then we got a few politicians there that think, boy, I need to start a farm education program and educate farmers on how to cast seed effectively. And that's what they get out of it. And maybe there's some news reporters there and they say, boy, I got a hot story on a bird problem and how it's affecting the farming community. Right? And that's what they take away from it. And then we have some salesmen that think, boy, I need to sell more fertilizer. I could make some money here. And then there's a select few that come up to Jesus afterwards and they say, "Jesus, that was an interesting story, but I want to understand what you meant by all that." And there's only a select few. We don't hear of crowds here calling out to Jesus saying, "What does that mean?" We only have a few disciples afterward coming up to him saying, "Jesus, we know you teach spiritual, meaningful things. Explain this to us." That's what Jesus means by, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You want to understand this? You need to come to me for understanding, and I will explain it to you. I will give you the key to the parable. So then we get to verse 9. When his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." You guys recognize what Jesus is saying there. He's quoting from Isaiah 6, where we started this off. Remember, Isaiah 6, God commissioned Isaiah to go out, and he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand in their heart, and turn and be healed." Remember, God was describing Israel's current state. "You don't want to hear me, then I won't let you hear me." And we know what happened to the nation that kept doing that, that kept putting their hands over their ears saying, "I don't want to hear you, God. We're fine. We're good." But imagine if the nation had repented after hearing this word and came to God and said, "We want to hear from you." They might not have been taken away into exile. Well, here, Jesus' listeners are much like Isaiah's listeners. They're coming to hear a great speaker, a great teacher, a guy who does miracles. They want to see him perform. They want to hear what he has to say, but they don't really want to hear what he has to say. Because if they did, they would come to him in faith and say, Jesus, we want to understand your word to us. But there's a few that come with a soft heart in order to understand. And Jesus gives them the key to the parable. And what does he say the key is? The seed is the word of God. So now as we go back to the parable and look at it, we can understand it in a way that Jesus would want us to understand of it. And this parable is explaining the four responses to hearing the word of God. So we're going to go through this. Why don't we read it first? Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit is not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. We got the key. We understand. So let's look at this more carefully. Put them all four up there at once. As I was studying this week, church, I have three takeaways from this. Because I've always struggled. You always hear this, and it's about salvation. And though we can, and I think that's a correct reading of this. Okay? So we read this and we say, well, I know Jesus, I follow Jesus, I'm obviously good soil. And then we just kind of leave it be. Okay? I think there's more to it than that. So let's go through it thinking about salvation first. And then we're going to go back again as believers and go through it again. So we look at these soils. We get the birds that come. The seed falls along the path. The birds come and snatch it. And Jesus is saying, that's the devil coming. That's the devil and his workers coming and snatching the word of God away so that people don't believe. And we have to understand, the devil's not that cute little red guy with a pitchfork and hooves, right? He's out to get God's people. He wants to do everything he can to stop people from knowing and believing and following God. There's a real spiritual battle coming. Or it's here, sorry. So the devil is out to snatch that seed away from the seed that falls along the path. It's easy for him to snatch out. So what does this look like? This might be people, maybe they're just going to try out church and they hear the word of God preached and then they go and they say, why would anyone believe that? The Bible's silly. Think of all those silly stories. Why waste time at church? I could be going out and enjoying my Sunday morning, doing something I like to do. Why would you waste time at church? Why would you give money to the church? What a waste of money. This is all the devil's scheme, snatching that word of God away. And then we get the rocks, and Jesus kind of describes this as the flesh. This is the pressure to sin. You receive the word with joy. You're kind of excited about your new faith. And then when things get kind of rough and you start doubting and you say, I can't do this. This doesn't seem real to me. The faith isn't deep. It's not real. It's when things get tough and you're just tempted to go on with your sinful life. When things get tough, I'm out. And the thorns, Jesus described, it's like the world. So we got the devil, the flesh, and the world. And the thorns choke out that seed. It's, in a sense, just enjoying the life that the world offers. I have everything I need. I don't need that, God. Things are going good for me. Life's pleasurable. I don't need that. You see, the thorns just choke out the seed. And then some falls on good soil. These are those who surrender to God. They receive the word of God. And there's growth that happens. They're spiritually fruitful. And they, too, start scattering seeds. So we know if we plant a healthy plant in good soil, it's going to grow and bloom and bear fruit. And that fruit has what in it? seeds, and those seeds get scattered and grow more. That's what happens. So those who are saved will also bear fruit. 100-fold, Jesus says. So if we look at this as a salvation issue, any of us who have put our faith in Christ, we could say, well, that seed fell on good soil. The sower did a good job there, and he's producing something in me. But it's real easy to just then leave that parable be and say, well, this doesn't really matter for me anymore. And this is where I was wrestling with all week. I think there's another aspect to this. Who are the people that came up to Jesus for understanding? It's those who are following him already. And Jesus just gave them the key. So let's go back through here and look at this parable in the sense of sanctification. And that's a big fancy word, kids, for Jesus doing a work in us and making us more like him. We're already saved, but now he's going to make us more like Jesus. Okay? So when we read this in the sense of sanctification, I'd say each one of us are like that field that the sower is casting the seed on. Okay, so if we think of ourselves that way, this becomes more personal. The birds come and snatch some of that seed away. And I thought, well, how does this work in a believer's life? Well, I just want to get personal as well. I think a lot of times it's a hard time believing something. I can hear the word of God, and it gets snatched away right away. I'm like, I don't know about that. Right? For me, and I shared this several weeks ago after Michael and I came back from the Table Fellowship Conference, for me, the Lord spoke to me and said, you are my child. And I realized at that time how much I don't believe that. There are times, church, where I know the right theology in my head, but it doesn't hit the heart. I keep thinking I need to earn favor with God, or God's going to punish me if I do or don't do something. That's a struggle that I have, and I really think that's the devil trying to snatch God's good word away from my heart. And I need to recognize those birds and say, Lord, help me here. Next is the rocks. This is the flesh, the pressure to sin, or the struggle with faith. And again, for me, a lot of times, this is, I get real excited about something that's going to honor the Lord, and when things kind of get tough, it kind of fades away again. So this might sound silly to some of you, but for me, one thing I've struggled with for many years is my weight, my diet, my health. I get excited, Lord, this is this is like a New Year's resolution kind of thing, right? The rocks. Lord, I'm excited. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to honor you with my body. I'm going to get active. And you know what? I do pretty good for a little bit, like 2 weeks, and then it starts to fade away. But honestly, church, look at that from a spiritual standpoint. That's sin. I'm struggling with sin. I'm struggling with faith. I have doubt. When things get tough, that word of God gets taken away from, or it doesn't take enough root that it doesn't grow and mature. The thorns, this is the world. Again, this isn't necessarily pressure to sin as much as it is not pursuing spiritual things. You get choked out. So I think for most of us here, we could probably say this is all, the thorns are the same thing in all of our lives. It's distractions and busyness. We lose interest in spiritual growth because we're so busy with other things. I would say most mature Christians deal with the thorns a lot. Because we're saying, well, I already know the Lord. I got all this going on. I got, you know, for us, it's I got kids. I got this upcoming surgery, all that stuff. You know what? There's times I've noticed, boy, I haven't just spent quiet time in the Word for a couple days now. And I'm feeling the effects of it. The thorns choke me out. Even sometimes when we're here on Sunday morning, how often have we thought about other things when we're singing worship songs or listening to me preach right now? It happens. It happens to all of us. We get choked out by the busyness and distractions of the world. And then some falls on good soil. And I think anyone who follows Jesus would say, I see areas in my life where I'm bearing fruit. The Lord is working in me and through me, and I'm bearing fruit. But I think it's important that we not only look at this parable in salvation, but as believers look at it in sanctification and look at our field and say, how's our soil? One thing I read this last week, and I like how this guy put it. He said we need to inspect before we expect. So diagnose your own quality of receiving the seed. Inspect your soil before you expect growth. Because I think a lot of us are dealing with all the types of soil. And it's important that we identify those soils. So, again, just going through this from a practical way, I don't think any of us have the strength in and of ourselves to shoot all the birds, cast all the rocks, cut all the weeds, and have good soil. We need Jesus to actively be working in our lives. He needs to be doing it. But he also, we know from Scripture, God is a God who invites people along to share in his work. He did that from creation. Adam, I gave you a job to do. And I think he's calling each one of us to inspect our soil and join him in his work. So I love this analogy because I'm a bird watcher, but church, identify the birds in your life. Identify those things that the devil's using to snatch away the good word from your life. And take care of the birds. Ask Jesus to help you take care of the birds. The rocks in our life. There are steps we can take in our lives to cast out some rocks. And for the rocks that we don't have the strength to change or move, we need to ask Jesus, Jesus, I'm recognizing there's a rock in this soil that I can't move it. This is not a practical little step for me to let my roots go down deeper. I need you to take this rock and cast it away. The thorns. I think a lot of us can do some spraying, can't we? We can spray in our life and kill those thorns. And for the thorns that are too big and we need help with, we need to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to get this thorn bush out of my life. The roots are too deep. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. And recognize our need to get rid of those thorns. And the good soil, and again, I want to stress this as well, none of us are producing good fruit in and of ourselves. We need to abide in the vine. John 15. Jesus says, abide in me and I will bear good fruit. So let's inspect before we expect growth and fruit. Lastly, I want to look at that last verse there. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Holding it in an honest and good heart. I think that keeps going back to the message I keep saying over and over, that requires surrender. You want an honest and good heart, you just need to surrender your own will to the Lord and say, I want yours. That's what gives us an honest and good heart, is when we just continue to go to the Lord and surrender to him. And don't forget that last phrase there, bear fruit with patience. And I think that's where a lot of us also get discouraged. We don't see the growth we want to see right away, and we get discouraged. And you know how God works? He's very patient. There's a lot of times we don't see growth in our life until years later. But then we look back and we say, wow, the Lord was doing a work in me that whole time. So bear fruit with patience. Even though you don't see that growth now, you can't always see that plant growing, right? But it's growing. And next thing you know, you have a beautiful flower, a beautiful fruit plant bearing fruit. Be patient. Last thing. My last point. I said there was three things I took away from this parable this week. So salvation, sanctification, and the last one is scattering the seed. Part of the bearing good fruit is that we share the good news with others. That's the Great Commission. That's what Jesus gave his the job he gave his church before he left to go back to heaven. He said, go and make disciples. So how do we make disciples? By baptizing and teaching, he says. The teaching, again, is part of the scattering of the seed. So just as the sower did a work in our life and we received the seed and it grew, Now we are too to bear fruit. So we scatter the seed. And the point I got from this is, don't get discouraged, church, when you scatter that seed on all types of soils. Just keep scattering the seed. The growth is up to the Lord. Keep scattering. I want to close with this. 1 Peter 1:22 to 25. Peter writes this to the church. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Peter uses the same type of imagery. And I think we were praying this earlier this morning, right? All flesh is like grass. It's going to wither away. But the word of God remains. So let's inspect before we expect. Amen? Amen.